Well, I believe that Jesus will keep us individually. He will keep us on earth until our mission here is complete. If we're alive in these bodies, if we're here alive in these bodies, then he's not done with us yet. And you know, through the book of Acts, I've been preaching that Jesus is not done yet, and so he's doing all of these things in the book of Acts, and he's still doing them today, and he's doing them through us. He's got things for us to learn, things for us to do. Before we go to heaven, he may have a whole bunch of new spiritual habits that he wants us to learn. You know, we're not too old to learn new habits, and so God may have those for us. He may want to heal some wounded memories that we have way, way long ago, but he wants those healed. And he may want to mend some broken relationships while we're still here. So he keeps working with us. He keeps working in us. He keeps working with us. He keeps working on us because he's not done with us yet. And while he works, life goes on. You know, we meet new circumstances, difficulties, hardships, and even life-threatening storms. If you've had COVID and you've had a bad case of it, it's a life-threatening storm. And this life-threatening storm in our text, Paul survived. And he survived, storm-swept, but safely kept. And that's the title I've entitled this message, because that's the case for us too. Jesus wasn't finished using him on earth, and his story of facing a deadly storm was recorded for us. It was recorded so that we can benefit from it. It can encourage us through our stormy times of life. And that's what the first point here is, encouragement during the storm. In verse 20, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. Now, this is interesting because it says we. These are the we passages in Acts, and it's Luke is on board as an attendant. This was often the case among prisoners. People could have attendants. They could even have slaves. You know, they could take them on board with them. And so Luke was here recording everything. And, you know, this whole chapter, if you want to read it, it's very well recorded. And it really does use the vocabulary of the seamen that were experiencing this. So we often base our hope on past experience. I got through something like that before. I can do it again. You know, it's a lot of self-confidence. But when things don't return back to normal, really, I don't think things have turned back to normal yet. We're in for this a while. These situations, wars. It wasn't. You know, we focus on the Ukrainian war. Another war broke out in Africa recently, and it's like so many people. They're already poor. And now it's just devastating. People do not realize, these people that are gung-ho for war, that it's going to destroy so much. And so we look at things just don't seem to be going back to normal. And when that happens, it's like for many days, while the storm continued to rage. It was continued to rage. And it's like, yes, it seems like the storms keep on going on, and then we might lose hope or feel hopeless. Undergoing stormy times may not be our fault. I mean, it may not be our fault. Paul said, "Men, you should have taken my advice not to sail." Now that you say, "Oh, was he giving them an 'I told you so'?" No, I think what he was doing, he was reminding them, "Hey, listen. I'm connected to God. Remember that. I'm connected to God. You know who I am. I've been talking about the Lord all this time, so you know who I'm connected to." And you know, we're not to flaunt our faith in front of others, but we are to express it. We are to express our faith. People around us should know that we are prayerfully connected to God, and that any time they could come and say, hey, would you pray for me? Because they know you have that kind of connection with God. They know you as a prayer person who is confident in God. So when God encouraged Paul in the storm, he encouraged others. In verse 22 and 25, but now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only this ship will be destroyed. For I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. God's encouragements to us aren't just for us. They're for others, those who are going through the storm with us. And you know what? That's everybody around us these days. So, how does God encourage us in stormy times? Well, we may get an angelic message. I love those books that have stories of angel encounters. I think they're wonderful, but they're far and few between, you know. He had one. Paul had one. He had more than one, actually. But more often, God uses his word. We open the Bible and we're reading and all of a sudden it jumps out at us. Or we're singing a hymn, or maybe if you are like me, you have a hymn book at home and you can just open it up and page through it and, oh, here's a song that blesses my heart. Or a poem. Oh, yesterday I got blessed by some poems by Annie Johnson Flint, who was crippled from the time she was young, and she, in her crippled state, she wrote tremendous songs. He giveth more grace. That's one of them. Words from friends. You know, a phone call or a visit from a friend that can give words of encouragement. Sometimes Jesus speaks himself, and I really believe it should be the norm that we hear Jesus speaking to us. In John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. His encouragement to us is the basis for us to encourage others. And it's often in a very practical way, like taking nourishment during a storm. In verse 34, now I urge you to take some food. You need it to survive. Not one of you will lose a single hair from his head. Jesus keeps us on earth until our mission here is complete, but he also uses some practical means to do so. Despairing suspense had kept these 276 men from eating for 14 days. That's counterproductive. It really is. That's just not right. Fear can make people do some crazy things in stormy times. But for the Christian, dangers, no matter what kind of dangers they are, dangers should not rob us of a clear, sober mind, clear thinking, sober thinking. We see this in 2 Timothy 1:7. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. And you know, self-control is only one of the fruits of the Spirit that's supposed to be. It's a very important one because it deals with all of our life, self-control. And we have that control as the Spirit controls us. Well, by feeding ourselves on Christ's peace within, our faith may help others to return to a better frame of mind. Especially in stormy times have made them frantic and hopeless. In verse 35 through 36, after he said this, he took some bread and gave thanks to God. That's important, to give thanks in the midst of the storm. And gave thanks to God in front of them all. Then he broke it and began to eat. They were all encouraged and ate some food themselves. When those who are feeding on fear see us feeding on Christ's peace, then we are showing them the divine way to face the storms of life. there is a divine way, and it's in Him. And Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, this is from the New King James Version, it says this: "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving." With thanksgiving. "Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind," which is what we need to be guarded in times of a storm, in times of fearful things. Jesus will keep us on earth until our mission here is complete. He can give us protection from the storm. In verse 44, "Everyone reached land in safety." I mean, they did not know the end of the story. We get to read the end of the story, and we see it in advance. We know that this is going to take place. They didn't, and we sometimes, in the midst of the storm, all we have is the promises of God, and that's enough. That's more than enough. The sailors tried in vain everything they could think of to avoid shipwreck by using human wisdom and experience they had for years sailing and applying trusted skills and emergency efforts that they knew about and increasing their efforts as much as they could. But in some situations, we must have divine intervention. In some situations, we must have divine intervention. Self-preservation is a reflex that's built in by God, and it does keep us alive most of the time. But there are limits to safety and survival on this planet. During the 2020 lockdown, I wrote an article, a blog article called The Panic-demic. And the gist of it is this: the good news is that most of us who get COVID won't die. And that's true, percentage-wise. But the bad news is that everybody's going to die. Now, the good news about the bad news is that Jesus offers eternal life to all of us who are facing death, certain death in this world. But in the meantime, until we do have to go, in the meantime, Christians are protected from dying prematurely. Oh, it may look premature, but it's in the Lord's timing. When and how we die are things we don't really need to worry about. Our expiration date, that's what we said in the hospital, people expire. Our expiration date is in the wise and loving hands of the one who knows exactly when our work on earth is finished. This is why Jesus could fall asleep in perfect trust in the midst of a ferocious storm that seasoned fishermen were trembling in fear about, you know, when you know that story. And it's fine for us to use our God-given reflex of self-preservation, but it's not where we need to put our trust. Our trust is in the Lord our God, the maker of heaven and earth, and the preserver of all of His creatures, all of His creation. Jesus can calm the storm, as He did with His disciples in a boat on the Sea of Galilee. Or He can bring us safely through the storm, even if our ship goes down and is destroyed, as it was in this story. But in this story, all 276 men on board this ship that shipwrecked, well, they reached the land safely, exactly as God promised Paul. Surviving such a catastrophe, it probably surprised them all. They were all accounted for. Not one lost. That's a lot of people in a shipwreck, because shipwrecks are notorious for taking many, many lives. But this was quite an unheard-of miracle. But it was not surprising. It was not surprising if we realized that God's call on Paul's life wasn't over. He had more earthly service to do. In the same way, if we are storm-swept, we also will be safely kept if it's not our time to go home. If it's not our time to go home, we don't have to worry about when it is. But when it's, if it's not our time to go home, we're safe. We're safe. If we're still breathing air, then we can be sure that God has more for us to do. Letters to write, people to call or to visit, prayers to pray, apologies to make, testimonies to give, good deeds to do, good words to speak, to share. Jesus will keep us on earth until our mission here is complete. That is something that we can really, really count on. And we need to do it because it's an absolute certainty. Let's pray. Father God, thank you that we are in your hands. Our times are in your hands. And Lord, it doesn't matter when we die or when we go home. It's going to be a wonderful, glorious time when we do. We want to finish our work, though, down here. I want to. That's my main concern, is to get my work finished down here. So, Lord, I know that you will keep me, you will keep us all in these bodies until it's time for us to go home. Let us walk in that faith. Let us be encouraged in that faith. Let us have hope in the midst of the storm with that kind of faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.